Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5 days until rookies report to Napa for Oakland Raiders training camp. The date, July 24th. 8 days until both rookies and veterans report to San Francisco 49ers training camp. The date, July 27th. Welcome back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. With football on the horizon, we're going to bring football to the forefront at 6:45 with a new little, what should we say, segment that Dibs has created. Dibs, what's it called?
It's called Buttoned Up or Fly Down, because in life, you are either buttoned up, as our man Joe likes to say, or your flies down. And this week, I've had experiences in my own personal life of both. We'll go around the NFL and see who is buttoned up and who's got their fly down.
Where were you when you got caught with your fly down?
It was a couple days ago. It was over the weekend. I was out with my 16-year-old, and I had recently gone to the facility and used it, and I was not buttoned up. My fly was down, and some nice lady said, sir, your fly's down. And I, oh, thanks, ma'am, and quick zip up, whoop. And I looked over at my 16-year-old, and he's like, oh, my dad is such a tool.
Keep that horse in the barn, dude.
Such
keep that
tool.
Horse in the barn.
More a Shetland pony, quite frankly. To use your line. Thank you. Thank you for the zipper.
All right, so we're going to get into that at 6:45. Very football heavy, as is this segment, but on more of a serious note. Now, you can say what you want about some of the programming that has been rolled out on ESPN and Fox in recent memory. You can say what you want about Skip Bayless and various talking heads. Have an opinion. You're entitled to it. Shannon Sharp, who appears on, what's the show even called, to be honest with you? The Skip Bayless Show. Undisputed. Thank you very much.
That's a bad sign that it's been on 6 months and you don't know the name of it.
Well, I know the guys who are on it, and sure, I've seen some of it. I don't really pay attention to the names.
Well, Joe,
I don't know.
I have an excuse for taking all the hits. What's yours?
I don't have one. I'd love to give you a reason why I didn't have that right now. Lack of preparation.
He may have taken a lot of hits himself, Lowe.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll
come on. Don't get me into trouble this early.
We'll just let that hang out.
That was nice.
Thank you. That's how we do it.
He's a clever one. Like those raptors in Jurassic Park. I want you to take a listen, though, because Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated thinks this might be the best segment Shannon Sharp has had on TV since he's made the transition onto TV. This is Shannon Sharp on Michael Vick's comments regarding Colin Kaepernick.
No, he doesn't have a point. And what Michael Vick just did was perpetuate a stereotype that blacks that look a certain way, dressed a certain way, should be judged a certain way. What does Colin Kaepernick's hair have to do with anything? He need to reform his image from what some of the media and even Michael Vick has convinced himself that what Colin Kaepernick did by taking a knee was equal to, if not worse, than what Michael Vick went to prison for. Michael, you went to prison. You are a convicted felon. You needed to change your image. Colin Kaepernick took a knee. What is the image that he needs to portray? I don't get it. From Michael Vick, you would think, Skip, of all the guys that would understand this man's plight. Michael Vick went to prison for 18 months. He missed 2 years in the NFL. Michael Vick didn't have to tell anybody that he wanted to play again. And it just so happens there's more coincidence than what we really thought. Because guess how old Michael Vick was when he signed with the Philadelphia Eagles? 29.
Shannon Sharp, yesterday on FS1 regarding Michael Vick's comments on Colin Kaepernick. Powerful stuff, Lowe. Powerful stuff.
Very, very powerful, Joe. And I was nice when I, you know, yesterday when I talked about and alluded to, and we all did, said Michael Vick has a story and he's been through a lot and we forgave. He wasn't killing dogs. They were getting murdering dogs, fighting. What he did was unthinkable and wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't two or three. hundreds. We don't know how many dogs. He was killing them, burying them in the backyard if they were lame, putting them down. What he did was criminal. And he paid his time, and we forgave. So when you hear a guy like that, you know, it kind of just vexed me by hearing Michael Vick, who's been through a lot, who's helping a lot of people. But to put Colin in that type of light, that, hey, he needs to change his image, shave his hair, and do this stuff, you don't conform like that. Now, if he wants to say, hey, Colin Kaepernick needs to take a stance to say, hey, look, I'm going to own this. I'm going to tell you the guys the reason why, but why I'm going to put it behind me, but I'm still going to do outreach and help people that can't help themselves. But look, I'm focused on playing football. If he wants to come out and tell that's what Colin Kaepernick needs to do, go on ESPN or go on Fox, go on those things and explain. And after that, say, look, I'm not talking about this again because I want owners and ownership to know that I'm not kneeling, but I am going to still help behind the scenes. But I want to play football. I'm 1,000% behind my craft. I love this game. I love this game, but I'm ready to turn the page and really focus my career, and that is playing in the National Football League. That, if you want to say that's cleaning up image, no, that's just coming out and saying where my heart is, where my desire is, and where my earning power is in the National Football League, and I'm committed to that. That's what he needs to do. But far as cutting the hair and all this stuff, it's really, really, that was really, Michael Vick really used a poor, poor choice of words, and it had nothing to do or any bearing on why Colin Kaepernick is not in the National Football League.
Dibs, between what Vick said, what Lowe's saying, and what you heard from Shannon Sharpe yesterday on FS1, where do you land on this?
I think that Shannon Sharpe was absolutely spot on, and I think Michael Vick has to be careful when he starts to cast judgments or cast these sort of decisions on other players, considering what he went through and what he's done. Shannon's right. He is a convicted felon. That doesn't mean he can't have an opinion or weigh in, but to say that Colin Kaepernick needs to cut his hair, basically drawing the parallel to what he had to go through to get back, I think is unfair to Colin Kaepernick, because this is a guy who didn't do anything wrong. Whether or not it was smart for his career arc, that's a different debate entirely. But
sure,
he's a guy who stood up for what he believed. He did it nonviolently. He helped to draw attention to a movement that desperately needed attention drawn to it. And whether or not it was career suicide is a different story. I think it was career suicide, but it wasn't a crime like dog fighting and killing dogs certainly was.
And I think Michael Vick, not only in some, and I think in the black community, he lost a lot of street cred yesterday, Joe. He really did. And I'll be frank with you, me canning. People say, oh, no, he didn't. He said it was right. No, he didn't. He lost a lot of street cred. He lost a lot of credibility. And I think that people look at Michael Vick in a certain way now of ignorance.
Is it possible? And this is just a question. This isn't me taking a stance in any way, shape, or form. I want to make that clear. Just a question. Is it possible that all Vic was doing with the haircut comment was simply trying to offer a piece of advice, and perhaps because we're looking for things to discuss both on TV, on the internet, on radio, that maybe there's been a bit of an overreaction? Not saying that's what I believe, just asking, is it possible Vic was just trying to hand out a piece of advice and we are overreacting to it?
Definitely. It's what we do now. And I'm going to overreact to you saying that we're overreacting.
I'm going to overreact to that.
That's what happens now,
right now.
Joe's, we all have hot takes and every little micro statement gets broken down inside and out. And there's radio shows and TV shows from coast to coast and everybody's looking for content. And this is certainly hot content, but Michael Vick certainly, to Lowe's point, should have chosen other words or other ways to describe what Colin Kaepernick needs to do to improve himself. To just say he needs to cut his hair like that comes across the wrong way.
I think Michael Vick, what he missed the point is, by cutting your hair and doing those things, you're conforming to the perception instead of reality. And Michael Vick really missed that, because now you got to realize there's a huge amount of people out there to say, look, be natural. Do the things that you want to do. Understand Stephen A. Smith has hair. His hair is longer than most blacks, kind of the afro, but he keeps it nice and groomed. If Michael Vick doesn't understand when you say, oh, cut your hair, do this, he was saying conform to what everyone believes, not everyone, but a huge amount of white people believe how black people should look, how black people should carry on. That's what he did. He opened that can of worms. And when you're saying, was he trying to say something nice? I think his bad choice of words, but not just that, Joe. when he says, oh, it's Alvin, and also his play. He has in the last 2 years, he's played horrible. But when you look at the numbers and you look at all the other quarterbacks, Theismann came on the show talking about 90 quarterbacks that are out there. This guy's probably top 40 quarterbacks. He's probably that 40th or beyond, or maybe even higher.
Which two per team is 64 quarterbacks, so the math says he should have a job.
That's the point.
Expecting an aggressive offseason approach that would close the gap on the champion Golden State Warriors, LeBron James soon found his anticipation and optimism diminished after Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert dismantled the front office, declining days before the draft in free agency to bring back general manager David Griffin and vice president of basketball operations Trent Redden. This from Jeff Zilgit of USA Today, who says, according to a source close to the situation, LeBron James is concerned about the Cavaliers' offseason. Concerned is anything but what James should be. He's got all the money in the world, all the success in the world, but he can't get over the top as it pertains to the Golden State Warriors. To spend his summer concerned about what his team is doing after he came back to Cleveland and gave them another opportunity is got to be very enticing to Warriors fans, as does this quote from Jalen Rose of ESPN on LeBron James, which he said yesterday.
I think he's good as gone, and he's greasing the skids. I've talked about this since the NBA Finals, and then it became a topic for national consumption.
Well, thank you, Jalen, for mentioning it, because without you, we never would have talked about it. Shout out Jalen Rose for being the topic setter for our nation.
Okay, so we have kicked this around a bit, but now more continues to spill out, both in print and on television. Dibs, I'll start with you. Set a percentage LeBron James gone after next season versus LeBron James stays. Do you see it as a 50-50 proposition, or where are you leaning at the current moment here late July?
I'm at 90-10. 90% he leaves, 10% he stays, and that 10% includes such dramatic things as another star agrees to take less to go there, or the owner decides to sell the team. If that happens, the owner decides to sell it and maybe LeBron and somebody else can step in and buy it. He becomes the first ever owner player. Then I think he stays. If the owner goes and somebody else buys it, he stays. If another one of his favorites comes to town, then maybe he stays. Otherwise, he's gone.
So you're 90-10, he's
90-10,
gone.
90-10,
he's gone. 3 weeks ago, I took the prison bet saying he's gone. It's over. That's how confident I am. Lo, where do you stand today?
I'm with Dibs here, but the only way that he stays, if the owner sells the team. It's just too much bad blood. LeBron let it go one time. You forgive, but you don't forget. So he's moved on, but you look at it, I think that he's gone.
Does it feel as if... All right, let's go back to the Zilgit article from USA Today. According to Jeff Zilgit, a tremendous reporter, we've had him on the show before, a person close to the situation told him that LeBron James is concerned about the Cavaliers' offseason. Let's track it down a bit. Where would that come from? That wouldn't come from the Warriors or the Bulls or the Celtics. That's got to be someone close to LeBron, because if you're Dan Gilbert or someone close to Gilbert, you're not going to go float something like this. That's not a good look. I'm getting the sense that LeBron James knows he's gone. He's already convinced he's gone. And what he's going to do between a few weeks ago and his eventual departure is set the stage so that he doesn't take any of the heat or any of the blame like he did last time for leaving Cleveland. He delivered a title, so he realizes he's done everything he needed to do for this city. The only thing he doesn't need to do to have a bad name there for the rest of his life is burn the final bridge on the way out the door. So, in order to do that, why not make it look as if the situation was so bad you had no choice but to leave? That's what we're starting to see. That they wanted Jimmy Butler. Remember, Jimmy was trying to force a trade from Chicago to Cleveland. And then what happened after that? Suddenly he told the front office he didn't want to be traded to Cleveland. Anywhere but Cleveland, he said. Where do you think that came from? That was a report that came from Cleveland.
Inside
they wanted to
room.
Make sure that the world knew Jimmy Butler didn't want to be traded to Cleveland. They wanted to make sure that the world knew LeBron James wasn't happy about David Griffin, the general manager, not being re-upped. He took to social media to make it very clear how much he liked that guy. Little snippets have been coming out in parcels every week, every couple weeks, to set the stage that if this is going to go down, like I said, I took the prison bet and you guys are coming around too. If LeBron James does not return, and we're convinced he won't, it won't be his fault. This is a man setting the table for dinner so that when he decides to feast next offseason, he's not going to take any of the heat like he did last time around. Am I crazy for thinking that this is all a pre-planned ordeal that we're witnessing lay out before us, Dibs?
No, and Jalen said it in his quote that we just played about greasing the skids, and that's what he's doing. You have all these things now piling up to where you got rid of a GM that he liked. You didn't get Chauncey Billups to come in and replace him. You were unable to do anything in free agency, and Jimmy Buckets didn't come. All these reasons. So this season, LeBron's going to go out there and give his soldier best. He might even go out and average a triple-double for the season just to show Russell that he's able to do it. He'll fall short in the finals, and then it'll be, look, I gave you all I've got. I was top five in the league in minutes. I was top three in the league in MVP voting again. I got no help from this owner that nobody likes, and then LeBron will be able to leave free and clear.
Kevin Durant had how many teams that were realistic options for him when he became a free agent? Was it six?
Something like that, 4-6.
Like the Warriors, the Thunder, the Celtics. There were about six teams, right?
Right.
How many have a realistic shot of landing James after this season? If you really sat down and thought about it, how many teams have a realistic shot low?
I think it's two. I mean, before this even occurred, LeBron bought a house in L.A. I was on a show last year and he bought the house in L.A. People said, whatever. I think, darn near a foregone conclusion. I think the guy wants to be in L.A. He wants to be in that market. You don't just necessarily, he can go offseason. You don't spend buy a $21 million house if you don't want to spend time. If you wanted to make it a vacation place, then you buy a two-bedroom. You buy a two-bedroom or three-bedroom place, and you say, okay, it's going to be vacation. When you spend $21 million on the house that's a house that you desire to spend significant amount of time in. So this all unraveled. Now I think it's even more of a foregone conclusion. So if you take the things that's been going on with LeBron, you look at the ownership. Dan Gilbert believes that he's a rim when he's only the spoke. That just goes to tell you that LeBron is the rim and he's the spoke. And LeBron spoken when he spoke. He said, Jimmy Butler, I'm out. You look at Paul George. Paul just said he really thought he was coming to the Cavs. No, I'm out. Why? LeBron wanted to show that he still has a sphere of influence, that he can pick up the phone and call any of these guys and say, look, Dan, since you want to play your game, I'm the rim, you're the spoke, know your situation. So when you look at what's going on in Cleveland, the owner will behoove him to sell the team now. He has a franchise worth over $2 billion, instantly made over $1 billion once LeBron James signed back with the team, and now he's going to let it all go to hell in a handbasket.
Where'd you get that from? The rim spoke thing. That's nice.
Church.
From church.
It's in that book, Joe. It's in that book.
That's
although
nice.
The Bible was invented before the wheel, was it not?
But the Bible says all the parables that they talk about. It says harder for the camel to go into the eye of a needle. And people think that was a gate. No, that was a gate, not a needle.
That's my fault.
Yeah, that's on you.
That's my fault.
That's on you.
We both
don't go looking at me going, oh, where's he going? No. You open that door. You open that pearly gate and let him walk right through it.
That's on me.
You're supposed to interview him first.
That's a couple penalty flags on me early today.
Ask us a couple questions, Dibs. Imagine if this guy was in charge of the gates.
Oh, my.
You're in. Everybody come on in.
St. Dibs, your fly is down.
That was nice.
Do you feel the same way? Wait, did you even get to the two teams that you thought were in contention?
L.A. teams, the Lakers and Clippers.
Thank you.
Both L.A. teams.
Yep.
Really? Okay, both L.A. teams. You don't think anyone else could be a serious contender like, say, the New York Knicks, the 76ers? Some have floated the idea of him joining that team. You think it's L.A. and that's it?
Yeah.
Dibs, where are you at on that?
I like what you said, especially when you talk about the house, you know, $21 million house. You don't buy that unless you want to spend some time and live in it. You know, you're right. Because if he wanted to just have a vacation house,
talk to him, Dibs.
You would just, you know, maybe spend a couple million. I think that you don't have to necessarily limit it to just the L.A. teams. I think you look at New York as well. As depending on what happens with Carmelo and all the shakeout, you think about LeBron, and if Carmelo's still there and Kristaps Porzingis, that's a pretty interesting trio. I don't think it's enough to get over the Warriors, but as LeBron looks to make a move at the end of next season, I think it's either L.A. or New York. For him, it's all about the Shaq move. You go to a big market where you can grow your non-basketball brand, your Hollywood brand, or you go to New York and then you have more access to Europe and in other places.
What's left in the East if he goes West? What's left? What do you sell in the Eastern Conference?
Boston.
Miami, Orlando, Charlotte. I mean, I don't think you can sell John Wall and the Wizards. And I know a lot of people are, no, Wall and Beal can play. They're not even popular in Washington. when you looked at the ratings during the playoffs, they got nothing, man. People in that city were not that tuned in to what the Wizards were doing. They get behind the Capitals to an extent because every year you want to believe that that Capitals team will finally meet expectations, but they don't. They get behind the Redskins and the Nationals to an extent, but the Wizards do not rate there. The Knicks are still struggling. The Nets are a long way away. You've got the Celtics, but what else do you realistically have? How do you sell Detroit? How would you sell Cleveland after this? You work your way through the Eastern Conference. If he leaves, there is nothing. Now, the West would be as good as any conference has ever been in basketball history. The Warriors, Harden, George, Westbrook, LeBron go up and down the list. I mean, Dame and CJ McCollum become an afterthought. Imagine that. Portland becomes an absolute afterthought in the Western Conference. This team in Minnesota that everyone's talking about, no one's going to be talking about them.
No.
Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. Remember when that trade went down, how fascinated people were?
I was.
Not only do they not talk about it now, no one would give a damn. And they just added Rondo to the mix, by the way. Did anyone notice that?
Yeah.
Rondo, Boogie, Davis on that team? Alvin Gentry, good luck with that. Seriously, I'm rooting for him, but good luck with
some
that.
Headaches.
That's going to be a messy, messy team next year.
And what does everyone always say about LeBron, Joe, and Dibs? Think about what the narrative has been. He wants it easy, so he stays in the East. This can be that opportunity in his latter part of his career to say, you know what? I've done it all. I've done it in both conferences, and I've done it my way. I think that's another incentive when you look at LeBron. Everyone said he's scared to come West. I think he's going to come.
What's the likelihood he'd be willing to take less money to go out there and beat the Warriors? Because the bottom line is if he wants it, he can't have it both ways.
Can't.
There is no way to facilitate a max deal on a team of his choosing with enough star power around him to get past the Warriors, barring some sort of injury or fluke disaster for Golden State. If Golden State maintains where they are right now for the next few years, LeBron doesn't get by them with the talent he needs around him to do so, unless he takes a pay cut. That's the only option. So what's
Agreed.
It going to be? He really has to make that decision. It's going to come down to rings versus money. Which way do you think he leans ultimately?
Rings. I really believe his legacy. You think about this guy. If he goes to the finals this year, it'd be 8 years in a row. It's about rings. This guy's made enough money. I know he wants to buy a team. What is, if he signs for 24, you know it's going to get at least $25 million. That's going to be his probably, but he could make 30 or 40. So if he's at that, that's a significant amount of money still. But LeBron, so what is $10 million to a guy who's already worth over $100 million? So when you look at it in that way, he's going to say, come on, guys, come with me. I want to beat this team. And if he can do it in L.A., in that market, think about what he would be looking at, how his legacy is going when he leaves this game. Unbelievable. So I really believe for him, it's a rings. Money ain't the issue.
I'm not sure what the absolute minimum is that he could take, but imagine if he was willing to play for, say, $3 million a year. That frees up over $27, $28 million to spend elsewhere. He finds one other star at the end of his career who's willing to take a little bit less. Say a guy like Melo. We can do all the Melo bashing we want. I'm at the forefront of the Melo bashing parade, right? But at the end of his career, if Melo were to come join him for, say, $10 million a year, and he doesn't look for a max, you got Melo and LeBron together for $13 million. Imagine what they could assemble to challenge the Warriors. It's there. Like, if they want to take down Golden State, that opportunity is there. I'm not necessarily sure that's what he wants, though. I think you hit it. I think being an owner means more than winning rings. He'll tell you the rings mean more. But unless he takes less, they don't, because he wants every last dollar because he wants to buy an NBA team. And NBA teams, look at the Rockets,
man.
Cheap. Do you know how much that's going to cost him? He doesn't want to be in there as a 5% owner. He wants to be the big player in the mix. That's going to cost a pretty penny. So he needs every dollar he can make now from his career and his endorsements and able to flip it now into investments and able to flip that into a purchase.
And I think that's why he won't ultimately take a lot less. I think he'll take somewhat less, but I don't think he'd ever play for $3 million, for example. He's going to be a $35, $40 million player when he goes out into free agency. Maybe he just plays for, like you say, 15 or 20, and he gives 15 or 20 back to the team to maneuver with. I think that would be enough to maybe not bring in another superstar unless someone like Carmelo Anthony wants to take less. And that's where I think this thing is interesting as it pertains to the NFL, something we've been kicking around, is the idea of NFL players taking these shorter term deals. We saw Johnny Cueto take that deal with a 2-year opt out, and now he holds all the cards. He's the power player. He either will get traded and teams are going to have to deal with it. He can opt in, he can opt out. Those shorter term deals now will give these players that kind of power. So if LeBron decides to go to LA, he could do a 2-year, $50 million deal, let's say, sign for 30 this year with a $20 million option for the next, and just do kind of a wait and see approach.
Weigh in on social media at 957 The Game on Twitter. LeBron James, will he take less money in order to try to upend the Warriors? John is in traffic right now. He's on the phones, 888-957-9570. John on LeBron, go ahead.
Yeah, quick question for you guys. If LeBron goes to the West, do you think that that is what causes Adam Silver to reevaluate how the playoffs are seeded so he doesn't have a boring finals and the Warriors can still play LeBron in the finals?
Great question. And as excited as we've been to have this discussion over the last few months, I'm getting the feeling that that will never happen in any capacity whatsoever. I think you might see some minor adjustments where, like, New Orleans or Memphis could be shifted to the Eastern Conference, but you will not get an overhaul. They said it this last time around. I think there were only 10 owners who were in favor of even considering the idea when the Board of Governors kicked it around. It got shot down everywhere else. Nobody wants to deal with that kind of travel. Nobody wants to deal with that kind of cost. That's the bottom line. If you had an opening round matchup with Portland and Miami, neither of those teams would be happy about that situation, especially if it went 7 games. Imagine all the travel that comes into it. Granted, they're on private jets, and a lot of us will sit there and say, it's a private jet, you're paid, highly paid professional athlete, get over it. But the owners don't want to side with that. It would cost too much money. I think we need to come up with another solution, because between the travel and the fact that they always lean on the, well, in 10 years, the East will be strong, and then everyone will be complaining we reseed once again. It's never going
to
happen.
Until you get to a truly balanced schedule, and I think that's where owners balk a little bit, the idea of Portland and Miami having to play 3 times in a year. So one of the two would have to go twice cross-country. As it is now, you know, Miami comes out and they play Sacramento, the L.A. schools, or the teams, and the Golden State, obviously, in Portland, Utah, Denver. You can knock it all out in 2 different trips. But if you had a balanced schedule, you'd have a lot more travel. I think the NBA, from a playoff standpoint, is going to be in some trouble this upcoming year, because who's going to watch the Eastern playoffs right now? If you've got Cleveland, you've got Boston, they're intriguing. And other than that, even this year, Washington, Toronto, there wasn't much to see there.
Speaking of watchability, has anyone been more intrigued by NBA Summer League than they were this summer? Has this summer been more intriguing? Now, Dibs, you were there, so there's a bit of a bias because you were covering it, which was awesome.
They did have record attendance, I'll say that.
But, like, it doesn't it feel like there was more talk and hype about NBA Summer League this year than ever before?
No question. There has been. And you know who they, everyone, a lot of people should thank? That Ball family. Say what you want.
No.
Yeah, I know we had him on the show.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it, though. The guy's getting a Facebook reality show. Here's what this family's done. You look at the sellout crowds to watch this guy play. He missed several games. Still got the MVP of the deal. You saw the guy was able to score.
Silenced a lot of triple doubles.
Yeah, silenced a lot of critics. People are talking about him. They're on every single show. He's that family. Say what you want. They have done great for basketball, and the proof's in the pudding, because now the product is living up to what everyone wanted him, well, what his dad said he can do. So now when you look at it, that has caused a huge, huge influx in basketball ratings, and everyone was watching the Summer League.
That's definitely a part of it. Yes, thank you, LeVar. That's definitely the Ball factor is part of it. I think also the NBA's popularity and the fact that all these games were on TV now. You could catch every single game staggered in Cox and in Thomas and Mack. They were going back and forth. And next year when we go as a show and we take in Summer League, you're going to see just how incredible this event's become, how many people show up to watch these guys up close and personal.
I was there 5 and 6 years ago when it was in Vegas. It's just kind of it was a drive-by thing, because Vegas has so many things going on throughout the year. The rodeo comes to town. It's just event after event. So you hear about something, and when Summer League comes as a sports fan, it's, all right, I'll go check it out. And it used to be like a nice thing for sports fans, right? It was kind of a drive-by sort of situation.
Right.
100 people.
Now
maybe.
It's a draw. It's a literal draw. You will go there to see this. You will go to check it out. If I were there, I would go out of my way now to check it out, even if it's not Lonzo Ball, although that's part of the reason I'd be brought in.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's get right to it, shall we? He's a Super Bowl champion, the 1983 NFL MVP. You can follow him on Twitter at Theismann7. It's Joe Theismann with Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Joe. How's summer treating you?
It's treating me great, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, and it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you for your time this morning. We'll jump right into a quarterback situation that you're familiar with because, once again, it's making waves. Colin Kaepernick in the debate of what's keeping him out of the NFL. Is it his political protest, or is it his play on the field? Michael Vick had some interesting comments recently suggesting perhaps Colin get a haircut, and perhaps it's the performance on the field that's been hurting Colin's chances. Where do you land on the situation?
Well, I think in Colin's case, I think that certainly the stance that he took regarding the national anthem and the American flag certainly has, I think, affected a little bit of what the decisions might be regarding him getting a job. You have 32 owners out there that I think are concerned about what the repercussions might be if he is signed, and it's their prerogative. Just like it was his prerogative to do what he did, it's their prerogative to do what they do. And also, there's 90 positions in the quarterback position in the National Football League. He certainly is better than some of those guys. I mean, he's not the 91st guy. So maybe his performances, may not be that impressive, but he has a decent resume that under different circumstances, someone would probably give him a chance. But I do believe that it has to do with ownership being leery of what the repercussions might be based upon the stance that he took.
And you think it's based upon the stance and not necessarily based upon his look, because Michael Vick was saying that he should get a haircut and that would ostensibly solve the problem. Do you think that the protest is a separate thing completely from how he portrays himself?
His hair doesn't run and his hair doesn't throw. So, as far as that goes, I think he has the right to express himself, to wear his hair the way he wants to. I don't think that has anything to do with the way things are turning out for him as we go forward.
Joe, your boy Lo Neal here. Looking forward to seeing you in Canton. I'm introducing your boy LT.
Well, that's right.
Let's talk about a team that's close and dear to you, the Washington Redskins. Why weren't they able to get a deal done with Cousins?
Well, it's interesting that you asked the question, and this comes up so often. Why weren't the Washington Redskins able to get a deal with Kirk Cousins? Because Kirk Cousins didn't want a deal. That's the bottom line. I mean, it isn't. The Redskins made an offer on May 2nd with no response coming back whatsoever from Kirk's camp. Well, that has to tell you that he's not interested in doing a deal this year. What he wanted to do was he wants to play under the franchise tag. He wants to see what the suitors are going to look like next year. He wants to see what the Redskins are going to look like as a football team. Kirk is a very, very calculated, bright young man, and he analyzes situations completely. And it really didn't matter what the Redskins were going to offer. So it really isn't, why didn't the Redskins get the deal done? In any negotiation like this, it takes two parties. It takes management and it takes the players' camp. And in this case, the players' camp wasn't willing to make a commitment because they didn't want to make an offer, and all of a sudden the Redskins say yes. I think he wanted to play the year out, and that's what he's going to get a chance to do.
Super Bowl champ Joe Theismann with Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Fans in San Francisco keeping a very close eye on the Cousins situation because if he is to hit the market next year, the thought process is that Kyle Shanahan and the Niners would want to make a serious play for Cousins. Fast forward a year, if Kirk has a good season, do you see Bruce Allen using the franchise tag for a third time, or do you think San Francisco is going to have what it takes to get the deal done?
Well, San Francisco is $63 million under the cap this year. You got to figure they'll be under the cap next year. You look at their quarterback situation, you certainly think that they're going to keep an eye on it. I don't know if they necessarily want to go draft someone. Defensively, I think they're going to be a pretty good football team. Offensively, obviously, it depends on how the quarterback plays. There's no question that anybody in their right mind is going to look at the situation and say San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan there would be number one as far as what you might consider Kirk having an opportunity and a place to go. There's also the transition tag that can be placed where the Redskins will have an opportunity to match any offer. So there are different options available to the Redskins as there are to Kirk at the end of this particular season.
Ezekiel Elliott's had himself quite a long offseason, Joe. What do the Cowboys do with this young player who is facing a possible suspension from the league and continues almost on the daily to pop up in more news headlines?
Well, you know, it's interesting reading what Jerry Jones had to say, which was nothing. When Jerry doesn't have a comment on a situation, you sort of have to look at it as very serious. I think that, you know, Zeke is a young man that's trying to figure out in life what it's all about. I mean, we live in a fishbowl. You do it. I mean, your personalities, where you go, what you do, the way you act, the people you hang out with, they're all reported in this day and age. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a way to record something. So, you know, you're really never alone unless you're by yourself in a room. And so in Ezekiel's situation, he has a responsibility to himself, to his family, to the Dallas Cowboys, to the National Football League. And you have to make smart decisions. You know, I'm convinced that guys that wind up getting suspended just don't like money. They just don't like money. I mean, you get a 4-game suspension in the NFL, it costs a lot of money. And it doesn't take much, I think, to be able to make some good decisions. But again, you're talking about young guys who you would hope be able to make better decisions than they do. And I don't know what the situation exactly is with Zeke. All I know is that he's a heck of a football player, and the Cowboys would be, you know, a little bit behind the eight ball without him.
Joe Theismann with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. A team the Raider fans are going to be keeping a very close eye on this season, as always, the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs, in my estimation, are going to have more struggles this year than we've seen in the past. Throw out the fact that it's a tricky schedule. Andy Reid and the organization trading up to bring in Patrick Mahomes. That could create a dicey situation with Alex Smith, coupled with the fact that they just fired their general manager less than a month before the start of camp. What do you make of the Chiefs this season?
Well, there's a lot of general managers that have sort of got by the wayside. You know, Carolina just got rid of theirs. Kansas City got rid of one. The Redskins got one just before the draft. I think they're finding out that, you know, there's other ways to be able to get things done. In the case of the Kansas City Chiefs, go back 2 years, you didn't have a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass. Last year, Alex Smith threw just 16 touchdown passes. They looked at Patrick Mahomes, and they probably looked at the 2018 draft, the 2019 draft, and felt like we're going to be in a very good position to be able not to draft real low. We're a good football team. So let's see if we can get a young guy in the fold now, bring him along. And I don't think it spells anything for Alex Smith. He's still going to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for at least the next couple of years. So you start to bring somebody in that you can work into the system, let him learn about professional football, let him learn the way that you want to run the offense. And then if you need him to play, that's fine. But right now, I think it's a betting on the future by the Kansas City Chiefs more than a replacement for Alex.
He's the 1983 NFL MVP, Super Bowl champion. Follow him on Twitter, at Theismann7. And quite frankly, every time I see a picture of the guy, he's got the greatest tan I have ever seen in my life. Joe, I don't know how you do it, but it's Joe Theismann with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, Joe. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Now back to Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Joe Low Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Some very interesting NBA nuggets to get to in about 12 minutes at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. And 10 minutes from now, we've got $1,000 to give away. The 4K a day cash contest is back. 10 minutes from now, we're giving away a dime. We'll give away another dime at about 7:58, and we've got Green Day tickets to give away at 8:45. Now, this segment's new. It's a bit of an experiment. It's a Dan Dibley creation, or if we were to borrow from Spike Lee, it's a Dan Dibley joint.
Thank you. Thank you.
A variety of things.
A little early for a Dan Dibley joint, but but I digest.
What are we calling this, Dibs? Explain this to the listeners.
This is buttoned up or fly down, because every day in life, you're either buttoned up, you've got everything in place, as you like to say, or essentially your fly's down. You're showing your wares inappropriately, and you don't have your blank together. So we're going to look at the NFL teams. We're going to see if they are buttoned up or if, in fact, Your fly's open.
Like you earlier this week.
Like 3 days a week. I tend to, have issues with the zip up. The zip down is not a problem. The zip up, I have issues.
All right, so we've got five teams to get to. It's button up or fly down. How about a little music, boys, if you don't mind? Ooh, I didn't realize we were going to go NFL music. Thank you. This training camp is right around the corner. Can you dig it? All right, team number one in buttoned up or fly down. Lorenzo Neal, we will begin with you because you played football. I don't know if anyone knows that. Team number one, button up or fly down, the Carolina Panthers.
Carolina Panthers are fly down. They're not buttoned up at all. You just fire your GM and you got D'Angelo talking about he was a snake. Let the snake out in the field or cut his neck off. It was absolutely amazing. The parting shots that all the players gave this GM, I don't think they're buttoned up at all. They fly me down.
Tough to argue with that, Joe. I mean, all the players, the former players coming out and celebrating the news of the GM firing, that's not a good look. And you fire GM 9 days before camp starts?
Dabble them, folks.
That can't be the right way to proceed.
No, it absolutely can't. Dib, so you're saying they are?
Oh, fly down, without a doubt. Fly down.
Ooh, beautiful stuff.
Double fly down.
Team number two. Now, it's going to get a little trickier. Okay. Low, buttoned up or fly down, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, the Pittsburgh Steelers. When I hear Big Ben talking about, hey, look, man, I need you to be buttoned up. He's already calling guys out, telling the receivers, I need you to be more buttoned up. You should have handled things a different way. And then you hear the receiver come back and say, me and Big Ben need to sit face to face and face each other. I hope they don't draw down and shoot each other. But I tell you right now, this team, and their fly is down. I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers have what it takes. You see all the discard that's going on there. Le'Veon Bell was tweeting out, talking about he's in Miami before his franchise tag was going to expire. There's all kind of stuff that's going on there. I don't know. I think that they fly be a little bit down, Dibs.
I got to disagree with you, Lo. I would say that this team is buttoned up. You know, Le'Veon Bell, franchise tag, he wanted a longer-term deal. He's not going to get it. Ben Roethlisberger is proactively calling guys out, saying, you know what? You would better button up. They've got the kind of team that is AFC championship contending, one of the three or four best teams in the AFC. I don't think they've got any problems. They're buttoned up.
Why do you think you said you could button it up then?
Team.
Why do you think you said that?
Number three. Lorenzo Neal, buttoned up or fly down, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, come on, Joe. You heard the GM, the new guy coming in and was calling him Kirka, whatever he was trying to pronounce, but he sounds worse than me trying to jerkatize. And as I digest and digress and whatever we be saying on the show, that was kind of a slap in the face to Kurt saying, look, I don't even know your name. So if you're not going to sign this contract, you see Kirk Cousins saying, look, I'm better than that. I don't want to sign this contract. You heard Theismann come in and say he's betting on himself. And you always talk about the quarterback position. It's a very vital place in the National Football League, a very, very important spot on any team. I don't think this team is buttoned up. I think their fly is going to be down.
I think that you're wrong again. I think they're buttoned up. They handled Kirk Cousins as they needed to on a one-year deal. They didn't overextend for a quarterback who may or may not be the long-term answer there. I think with that position now shored up, at least for the season, they know where they're going to be for this upcoming year. They can focus on maybe drafting a quarterback next year. Washington's a team that's probably not going to contend for the Super Bowl this year, but you didn't throw too much money at Kirk Cousins. I like the choice they made. They're buttoned up.
Team number four. One thing to keep in mind, though, before we get to that. Ask yourself this if you think the Redskins are that dysfunctional. Kirk Cousins, 2 years, $43.8 million when it's all said and done, right? No more obligation. Joe Flacco, last year and this year, $47 million. But the Ravens are still on the hook for two more years and $45 million after that. Then they have an out. Which situation would you rather be in?
Wow.
Team number four, Lorenzo Neal, buttoned up or fly down. The defending NFC East champions, the number one seed in the National Football Conference, the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, wow. Are they buttoned up? Hell no, they're not buttoned up. You got seven defensive starters that are not no longer there. You got guys leaving. That defense is going to be like a merry-go-round. One get on, one get off. It's going to be absolutely, I think, it's going to be, you know, that place in Tijuana. I'm looking at this team. I think their fly is down. When you look at what's going on with Zeke Elliott, a guy who was Rookie of the Year, can't stay out of trouble. Things are going surrounding him. He may be facing suspension for two games, maybe even more. Rodgers going to let the hammer fly on this team. I know it's America's team, but I really believe this team has their fly down, and I think heads are going to roll after this season.
You might as well keep the zipper rolling because, Lo, you laid it out absolutely perfectly. This team is fly down 100%. Such a great year last year. The quarterback, Dak Prescott, likely going to regress to the mean and his ability where it likely will be. And Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to probably miss a game, maybe two, and he's got these ongoing legal things that keep nipping at him. He's primed for a down year as well, and you mentioned all the new defensive players they're going to have. I think it's going to be a long year in Big D.
Don't be surprised if the Dallas Cowboys start 0-3. Home against the Giants, Eli Manning owns that stadium. Game number two at Denver, game number three at Arizona. They could be 0-3, and that's all the country will be talking about as it pertains to the NFL. Prescott will wilt under the pressure. Garrett will get fired.
Carrot. Get it right, Fornbaugh.
On this program, he is Jason Carrot.
Garrett.
Team number five, buttoned up or fly down, Lorenzo Neal, Bruce Arians, and the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, Joe, you just alluded to that this team is going to play the Dallas Cowboys week number three. The Cowboys can start off 0-3. And who's that third game? The Arizona Cardinals. So that means they're buttoned up. Why? Bruce Arians understands his time on this great earth is limited. We all are. He understands the quarterback he has is aging. This is that year, the make it or bust it, break it year. I really believe this team is going to win that conference over there. Yes, unseating the Seattle Seahawks. I really believe they're buttoned up.
Button up. Yeah, I think you're right. They are buttoned up, but it's one of those buttons where the thread is really, really loose. So when you go to button it, you got to make sure.
Be gentle
when you button up, because that thread in the form of old number three, Carson Palmer, he's just one tug on the button away from having that button pop up, or pop open, rather. And then it's not a fly open situation, but you do have some button issues. But for now,
pants on the ground.
I think looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Right now, I'm going to go with you, Lo, but I've got an eye toward this fly zipping open. But right now, I would say, Joe, they're buttoned up. Button up. I love it.
And so concludes the first installment of Buttoned Up or Fly Down. Nicely done, gentlemen. As we look to put a bow on things relatively quickly, let's go locally. The Oakland Raiders. How do you see them, Lo?
I think they're buttoned up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here before training camp with a young rookie unsigned yet. But I really believe we hear about in the offseason, no one's getting in trouble. Your quarterback just got done. Gabe Jackson, I think one of the best guards, top three guards in the league, buttoned up.
Dibs.
Absolutely buttoned up. But the Garian Conley question, I think, is the only thing that could possibly spring this button off the clasp.
The San Francisco 49ers.
They're buttoned up. You see what they're doing. They're making nice moves, not being too aggressive. I like what they're doing.
Flies down, Joe. You're still a two-win team. Now, you're fixing the zipper. It's one of those zippers where you zipped it all the way down so hard that it kind of broke and split open. But you bring in Shanahan and Lynch. You cinch the bottom together so you can start to zip that thing back up.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go ahead and give away some Green Day tickets. Two of them, in fact, for their show at the Oakland Coliseum on Saturday, August 5th. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. 888-957-9570. First person to answer the following question correctly wins the tickets. Which Green Day album sold over 10 million copies in the United States? 888-957-9570. Which Green Day album? They're not a... It's not Kawakami at the Athletic. Which Green Day album sold over 10 million copies in the United States? 888-957-9570. Big things happening on the tech front here in the Bay Area. Congratulations to Tim and Marcus Thompson, both leaving Bay Area News Group to start a new venture. A lot of other individuals we've come across in our existence, they've got something getting ready to launch, so that'll be very fun to keep an eye on as we move forward. Question. NBA's Adam Silver, the commissioner, thinks legalized sports betting is going to happen soon. Where do you two land on that? Are you in favor of that, Dibs?
Legalized sports gambling, yes, I am in favor of it. I think we've reached a point where you can gamble online ad nauseum, whether it's offshore or onshore. There's been people who've had bookies going back to the days when my dad was in his 20s or 30s. He wasn't a big gambler, but friends of hers were actually in the bookie business. So to think that this is not something that is widespread already is foolish. So why not give states a piece of the action? I know the Supreme Court is currently hearing New Jersey's case, a decision not expected until, I believe, early spring of next year. Once that big tumbler comes down, the Supreme Court weighs in yay or nay, that's going to determine the fate of a lot of this.
Do you lump sports betting together with online poker, for example?
Yes.
So if I were to say legalized gambling, referring to sports betting and poker, you're in favor of both?
Yes, and I think even daily fantasy to me is the same thing. That's gambling. That's, to me, it's not fantasy sports as much as it is gambling. Fantasy sports is gambling. Put it all under the same umbrella. Use these racetracks that we have here today. Golden Gate Fields, for example.
Oh, Sundays.
Beautiful
dollar dogs,
facility.
Dollar beers.
But they don't...
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you can. They're a sponsor of us.
Very excited about them.
Love Golden Gate Fields, but you look at the facility, and they only use about 80% of it because the crowds aren't what they used to. If you had 100 slot machines and maybe even a small sports book, while gambling for some is a problem, for others, it's great entertainment, and it would draw more people to that entertainment venue.
See, I agree with you on daily fantasy and fantasy in general, but the distinction between the two is that fantasy has been labeled a game of skill, whereas sports betting is labeled a game of chance. And that's the key distinction between legalization and being illegal. Whether it's a game of skill, which is what fantasy has been deemed to be, versus sports betting, which is a game of chance. Now, anyone who's ever tried to make a living or make a run at sports betting understands it is very much a game of skill. It requires an extraordinary amount of skill in order to succeed at it. But that's just not how the definition fell when that came out. Lo, your thoughts. Legalization of sports betting, lumping it in with poker. For it or against it?
I'm for it. I think that the biggest thing that people have to realize, your athletes aren't supposed to gamble. They probably won't be gambling, and they shouldn't be gambling on themselves. And I get that, how that works, but it happens all the time. Now, I think the NBA and the NFL, they already give out odds. They already let Vegas know certain things. Why would you not now be able to capitalize on that and do some type of revenue split share with gambling and legalizing it? Because it's going to help their bottom line. So I can see this thing happen. Adam Silver is, you know, forward thinking.
Does it worry you at all that piece by piece, every few years, we move the line back a little bit from where it was? That one year we're legalizing marijuana, and then a few years later, we're going to be legalizing sports betting and online poker. And then we're talking about here in the city taking the closing time for bars at 2 o'clock and moving it to 4 o'clock. All individually, not necessarily viewed as horrible instances. But when you start to lump all of this together, does it worry you about the future of America that we continue to push what were at one time considered the lines of decency back further and further? This isn't me necessarily making a case for or against. It's just having a conversation about what I think is something that could be viewed as very important by many people.
Well, I think, Joe, you're being very deep, and not just deep, but philosophical. And you talked about with kids and cell phones and all the different things you talked about, and then we ended up getting a book out of it because it was something that you just talked about. And I think you're right. I think there's a one book, Dibs, and it talks about we'll call good bad and bad good. And because we are pushing things and boundaries, it's coming to that where's the balance? And I don't know how to draw it and how to separate it. You got to make sure that you keep your values and morals in check. If not, the pendulum is continuing to swing, dude.
The biggest problems in this country have nothing to do with marijuana or sports gambling. It's our gun problem and our problem with racism. And if you can come up with ways to address those two problems, then you can really exact, you know, a positive toll on America, because whether or not people are getting high, it's not increasing the murder rate via guns. It's not increasing or decreasing the unemployment rate. Now, sports gambling, that's a whole separate issue, but I would argue that people who want to gamble on sports are gambling on sports. Take someone like myself, for example. not a huge gambler. When I go to legal gambling establishments, I might get a little bit of action, but I don't seek it out on my own. So making it legalized is not going to move me in that direction anymore. I'm not predisposed to do it. It doesn't interest me that much. Now, if there was a place like Golden Gate Fields, for example, where I could go get action, sure, I'd bet more than I do otherwise, but I don't think it's going to lead to an absolute deterioration of American society.
But what about the idea that you, as an individual, may have some discipline and self-control, but if you create an opportunity for people to legally get high, legally bet on sports, legally play poker, stay out until 4 a.m. rather than 2 a.m. drinking, things of that nature, you throw all of this out there, all these opportunities.
For addictive personalities.
We are not a society of disciplined, organized people. You may be, Lo, you may be, but that's not everyone. There are individuals that are going to see this and say, I'll give it a try. I've never bet on a game before. Now I can do it legally. I'll go give it a try. You get hooked, that's a problem. You know, you even take half of 1% of people, what is that, almost a million in this country? Just shy of a million? That's significant.
It is.
That's significant. That's where you have to worry about the lines, because it's easy to sit here and say, yes, legalize sports betting. I've said it. It's easy to sit here and say, yes, legalize marijuana. But it all adds up very quickly. It goes back to the conversation we had about the phones. Do you believe you have an addiction to your phone?
I believe I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that coming?
No.
One day, we're having this conversation right now about whether or not you are addicted to a phone. Step back for a moment and ask yourself, when you were 15 years old, if you thought you would ever be addicted to a phone. Dibs, when you were 10 years old growing up, did you ever think you would be addicted to a cell phone?
We didn't have phones, Joe, back then. We had carrier pigeons back in my day.
Yeah.
But no, to be honest,
we had
the phone where you had the one phone in the kitchen with the 50-foot cord.
Yeah.
So if you got a call, you answered it in the kitchen, and you
walk around
three rooms away, and then you shut the door, and the cord would be stretching all the way across the house.
Exactly.
So, of course not. I never thought that I'd be addicted to my phone. And, you know, hearing
Do you feel you are, though, now?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that, because the answer I'm going to give you is not the truth. So if you wouldn't mind me lying to you, I'll say, no, Joe, I'm not addicted to my phone. God, no. But hearing Lo and looking at Lo's face, and then I thought for just a moment, like, what would I, you know, if I was to get rid of my phone for a week, let's say, 1 week, no phone, how would I do it? How would I manage? And to even have those thoughts and that minor moment of panic, it's a sad feeling, Joe, so I think I do have a problem.
I tried waves of it last week on vacation. We rented the house up in Wine Country.
Waves?
And that was the whole goal. The whole goal was just, we're not going to board the dog. We're going to take the cat, although I probably shouldn't say that out loud because we weren't supposed to take the cat. But we had those two. We had the kid. We didn't want to put him on a plane. So the thought process months ago was, let's do a vacation during All-Star Week. We'll stay local so we can bring the entire family.
Right.
And we'll just get a house and we'll chill by a pool, right? That was the goal. As soon as we got there, I kept the phone off me. I didn't want to carry it around. I was just going to leave it in a room and see how long I could go. It wasn't like an active test. It was just, this is family time. I'm away from work. Really, no one needs to get at me right now. Now, Wednesday, when the in-laws and my parents came in, you have the phone because you know someone's going to call.
Right.
Inevitably, they're old. They're not going to follow their MapQuest correctly,
right,
and there's
right.
going to be a whole problem with the trip tick and the maps they use. But I was able to go, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
But to feel good about that made me feel sick. Like that, yes. Hey, honey, Nikki, what? I haven't looked at my phone for 5 hours.
Right,
oh,
right,
my
right.
God. She's like, that's. I haven't seen that since the whole time I've known you. Yeah, I did good, right? I did real good.
Joe.
It's like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? It's a Sunday.
Joe, but you're right. And here's what I realized with myself. I don't have to be Twitter, Bleacher Report. I don't have those things to survive in this world. Me, it's like, I'm addicted because of the things or the thing that I do, you know, outside of here. And it's like, okay, if I don't have it, what am I going to not necessarily miss, but what can I take care of, which is cause an addiction? Take, for instance, I have my nephews and they're in town and I'm able to talk to these guys on a level that their moms don't. My sister lost her husband. So I'm able to talk to them on a level that you're not able to talk as a woman to your son. And growing up with us, Dibs, you know this, watching adult movies or something, that wasn't at our fingertips. You went to a Blockbuster and they had the sheets up there, and if people walked in that room, you're like, oh, they're bad. You know what I mean? It was just,
what's Blockbuster?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That place.
And so, but you know, as I digest, or we had to go find a magazine. Now, believe it or not, so no, I'm keeping it real.
I know. I appreciate that.
So I was like so far removed from what these kids in seventh and eighth grade are doing. I'm like, dude, I wasn't doing that till like college or my senior year. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, you can't. And it's hard to tell them you can't. But what they have on that cell phone, Joe, when you're talking about addiction and what our kids are exposed to because of the fact they can go on Google and see certain things because you got to keep them. You don't want to keep them blocked from anything. It absolutely blow your mind the things that they're at their fingertips.
From the 415, I left my phone alone for a week last year. You know what happened during that time? Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors and I missed it for 3 days. Yeah. You gotta stay on that phone.
That's right. Speaking of which, I got some Words with Friends turns I gotta take, so we should probably dip
that
to break.
A hot take.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.